I'm Sean Mikulski and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stadium.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 44 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. A big thank you to everybody who tuned into last week's special with Chairman Robin Santon-Cleeves and Manager Neil Smith. Unfortunately, this episode we've not managed to maintain the standard of contributors, and instead we're joined by Matt Hall and David Cook.
Glad you started with Matt first. Hi everyone.
Hello. It's alright, I was on that one, so.
Plenty coming up on this week's episode, guys.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. So we're going to start off by looking at the Chesterfield and Eastleigh games and hear from Neil Smith.
Yep, we speak to Sean McCloskey, get an update and an interview.
We're going to hear about some coaches that are travelling to away games for you fans in the upcoming future.
Matt, you're going to give us an update on the community.
Indeed, we've had an amazing response to the poster campaign in and around the borough, so we're going to talk about that.
I catch up with an in-depth interview with Mark Hammond.
I think in-depth is a bit... Well, anyway, we'll cross
that. I think we're going to try and split it into two parts, possibly.
We're also going to hear from Danny Mills about the under-23s.
We're going to discuss the match against Notts County.
Indeed, and we're going to hear from Luke Coulson as well.
Fantastic. Obviously, we're going to start right back at Chesterfield. Seems like quite a while ago now.
Seems like an age, doesn't it?
Well, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, yes, it's 2 weeks now, isn't it? But obviously, last week's episode was jam-packed full of content, and we didn't actually follow the traditional podcast pattern, and we didn't review the game. So let's do that now, then. Obviously, a 2-1 win, courtesy of Michael Cheek, double. However, as we all know, in the second one, he came off a little bit worse for wear, didn't he?
It's dedication, isn't it, when you put your body on the line to score a goal. A goal we didn't even know he'd scored, Matt.
No, he came off and Paul Smith, the physio, said to him, "Oh, well done, you just scored what could have been the winning goal." And he said, "What?" No, I didn't. He said, "Yeah, you did. Didn't you hear the cheers?" He went, "No, I've got no idea." So it was a great header, to be fair.
It's fantastic.
And you could see that the challenge from the defender, Evans, to be fair, was completely innocuous. But he has taken out Cheek's head rather than the ball, and hence he had, well, I think swollen is an understatement. It was the double a golf ball size.
Yeah, they took him to hospital that night. He had the scans.
No concussion.
No concussion. Checked out okay. He's back in, resuming light training on Monday.
Yes, so he obviously missed the game against Eastleigh, and we did actually miss him. But yeah, he's back in training now, which is good to see.
Yes, fantastic. But just go back to it. It was a fantastic result, and despite obviously Chesterfield were struggling in the league, hadn't got a win. We played them. We was unbeaten. We obviously went in from the first half 1-0 up. Second half, they come out, got one back, and then we scored 30 seconds later.
Right, straight from the restart.
Yeah, amazing response.
Yeah, so brilliant.
And our record crowd of the season for a league game?
Yeah, 2-1-1-0, wasn't it? 2,110, absolutely fantastic effort from everybody involved. I think Chesterfield brought about 100, was it, I think?
Yeah.
Not even that, possibly. So, yeah, it was fantastic attendance, all things considered, and let's hope we can carry that on now.
And obviously that kept us unbeaten, and then we went on to face Eastleigh at the Silver Lake Stadium.
Yeah, a bit more difficult. We had all, 2012 was the last time we got a win.
Yeah, and that was here, that was at home.
Yeah, so going down there, we'd suffered many a defeat and a couple of draws here and there, one being a 4-4. Two seasons ago.
Correct.
However, obviously going down there and the advantage of playing on a pitch was it which was in good condition and before winter sets in. Yeah, interesting game, but
yeah, because they talk about their pitch, usually it's an absolute
state.
Yeah, yeah, state then.
It's a beach, isn't it, normally?
Yeah. It was much better.
I mean, it usually goes Spenny more and then it goes them in terms of the level of playing pitch, but as many fans know, we have a 3G pitch. Seriously, just on that note, they've still got problems this year, haven't they, Spenny Moore?
Yes, they do. Not only in terms of the pitch, but they're actually not doing that well either in the footballing side. So.
Oh,
devastating.
Sorry, yeah, so back to the Eastleigh game. Like you say, we were, nil-nil when it went into it without cheek, and definitely you could notice a difference, Matt, up top in terms of what we had.
Yeah, I think Adrian did really, really well. He put in a great shift.
Oh, considering, obviously, when did he fly back?
Yeah, he flew back. He only got back on the Friday, and he was knackered on Friday morning. He was jet-lagged and all sorts. So he put in a great shift, and actually, I'm sure he won't mind me saying, probably should have put us ahead sort of midway through the first half. It was a great save, to be fair, by the Eastleigh keeper, but Cliffenham had a great chance, and he led the line well. Unfortunately, getting an injury in the second half and having to come off. And then Jack replaced him up top before moving to right back when Corey Henry came on to make his debut. So obviously a great goal from Luke Coulson to open it up, and an unfortunate slash avoidable equaliser for Eastleigh.
I forgot this. We did actually commentate on the game, didn't we? So we should probably insert the bit of the commentary where the two goals went in.
Anyway, goal kick to Eastleigh. Kizzy wins it. Billy flicks on in the middle again. Rico sends it to Coulson, and Coulson in front of his man, and he's a
goal side. Yeah! Yeah! Coulson, he's made
up that. What a finish!
Unbelievable there. And Luke Coulson puts Bromley 1-0 up here, and the Bromley fans are going mental. Brilliant there from Luke Coulson. Take us through it again. It started off with his bush at the back. Flicked over, Rico's putting through, and he's just won, hasn't he?
Was it Rico putting through?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Rico's put through, and he's just lobbed the keeper from outside the box. Just the precision he's got. Like Matt said, he was taking shots at the before the game.
Needs to be back in possession now on that far-hand side. Bromley in their own box, really, here. And Eastleigh going to get the cross in. Inside the box, played inside. Deflected up. It's a crossbar. Mark Cantley wins the second header. Eastleigh Manning finds it in. And it's a goal. It's just so poor there for Bromley.
It's been coming, hasn't it, in the second half?
You've got to laugh, because we do go ultra negative in those moments, having just conceded. What did you? I cut it there, because I think you carried on saying it's been coming. It's a goal. And then you realise at the end of the game that was their one shot on target in the whole game. Was it basically...
To be fair,
Cousins made a save. Yeah, he had a fantastic save, didn't he? Yeah. Sorry, Matt. Yeah, shout him out. I forgot.
it was a fantastic strike from Danny Hollands, and Cousins sort of jumped up in the air and stuck his right arm up and sort of saved it with his wrist type thing and managed to tip it over the bar. It was a fantastic save, and his reaction time for that was impeccable.
It's amazing how times have changed. Like you say, we've gone down there in the past, you would have taken a point, etc., the money they had, where they should been all those sorts of things. I knew always had experience from the bench. I remember going down there and matching them 11 for 11, and then they'd go and bring on Craig McAllister, or they'd just go and bring on names off the bench, and you just want to be able to compete.
Stuart Fleetwood.
Oh, you know, but and I think that's what was so disappointing on Saturday. We've done it so many times, taken the lead, and you're like, you know what, we've got enough resilience, we've got enough. I don't think we were the only one. I'm sure the players obviously were disappointed to see the goal. You know, don't feel like we were beaten by a worldie or a strike. You know, it did look like saying that we could have prevented, I guess, in hindsight and everything. But
yeah, I think you're right. And obviously the ball coming in initially, ricocheting off the crossbar and then us not clearing.
Yeah, a massive amount of unlucky balls in the goal.
But we would have gone top had we have won that game without conceding that goal.
It's always one of those ones, as it stands, you're watching the league table as the game's going on.
I refuse to do it.
But somebody who gave us a more balanced and professional view on the game, obviously, was manager Neil Smith, and here's what he had to say.
Neil, congratulations, still undefeated, hard-fought draw at Eastleigh this afternoon.
Yeah, we'd had them watched, we knew they were a tough side, you know, Williamson, we know Barnett up front, so we know they're good going forward. Danny Hollands obviously scoring goals from, so one of them, and then you go a goal up in the, you know, with Coulson, great finish. You just like, let's go. And then Clifton obviously comes off with an injury, and the boys looked a little bit tired. So I just thought let's see it out, and then, you know, just score with their one chance at the end. You know, it was a bit disappointing for us, but you know, to come here and be disappointed to come away with a draw. It shows you how far these boys have come.
Luke Coulson's goal was something special, but we see him in warm up just sort of hitting the balls for fun. Saying he's been working too.
Yeah, he's working on the shooting. He knows, you know, we want him to score goals. He was outstanding today. You know, I literally took him off just because I thought his legs were tiring. They were getting on top of us a little bit, and you know, I thought I'd just put fresh legs on. But yeah, the finish, and we're sitting right behind it. As soon as he was through, you knew he was going to finish. You know, we just wish Cliff had done the same in the first half, and you know, it might be a different game. But I can't complain with the boys. You know, to go, we now? September the whatever. We're still undefeated. You know, so that's a massive, massive achievement for these boys.
Yeah, it is. And just talk us through the substitution. Jack Holland coming on after the goal. Was that an option that you've got the versatility of a striker, but then drop back if you needed?
They were looking very dangerous across from set plays, corners, and free kicks. You know, we knew that. So I put Jack on to, you know, counteract that, knowing that, you know, I was going to bring Corey on to get him warmed up to then put Jack at the back. You know, we missed Cheeky. I thought Clifton was outstanding, but just tired, obviously. Two international games in the week as well, so, you know, put him on the back foot a little bit. But yeah, I can't complain. The boys are amazing, you know, but teams are up in their game against us, and they will do, and we just got to make sure that we're up for it and matching them.
I just want to mention Doherty. What an amazing game, and obviously, unfortunately, coming off with a limp. Is there anything serious with that in a minute?
It's a tight groin. You know, we hope it's not going to be too much. We'll have a look at it on Monday, but I thought his pace, you know, scared the living daylights out of him, and that's what he's got, you know, and it's just that end product now. But anytime you were sort of in trouble, you just put it down the side to Alfie, and he just blew him away with his pace. And I thought, again, for his debut, I thought he was outstanding as well, as they all were. I can't pick an individual today. I thought we were collectively a very, very strong group of players.
That's it. And obviously, getting down here today was a 92. Bromley fans on the hardcore making noise.
You can hear them. You know, you can hear them every minute of the game. You know, and as soon as you give them something to shout about, you know, and it doesn't take a lot for them to shout about, to be fair to them, they're showing that support. And then, you know, the boys are showing their appreciation afterwards and going over and clapping them. But, you know, like I said, Notts County at home next week, I'd love there to be a massive crowd for them to get behind us, because we're going to need that support against the team, you know, that was one of the founding members of the league, you know, playing against us in the league, in a league game. You know, if we can get over those 2,500s down there, you know, that'd be a massive achievement for this club.
Great to hear from Neil there. As you refer to, obviously, up next, Notts County. But before we talk about that, we're obviously, EC's one of those distance journeys. We've also got a load of other long distance journeys coming up, Matt. And as ever, Jamie Thomas, along with some other volunteers, do their utmost to organise away coaches and get fans to as many games as possible. And again, they've put in a fantastic effort. Matt, I understand there's still spaces.
There are indeed. So we've got two coaches. One is to Yeovil on the 28th of September. That's next Saturday. And a Wrexham, which is on the 2nd of November. Loads of spaces available for that one. Contact Jamie Thomas via Twitter at 666JamieThomas or thomas.jw@outlook.com. or pop into the club shop, and it's a £30 return for both of those, which is great value.
Definitely, yeah, it'd be fantastic to see how many make that journey. And like you say, Yeovil, I just still can't. You talk about Notts County and Yeovil, and these are league games. It's just it's incredible. Obviously, a massive shout out to Jamie there as well, and Paul McKay has also obviously been stepping in the club shop and assisting the club. It's greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated by us all here. Moving on, Matt, we've got some squad news.
We do indeed, and it's good squad news in that Sean Mikulski has joined us on loan from Forest Green Rovers.
Mikulski. Oh, because Cootie said something else at the intro, and
Mikulski,
I didn't know.
I think.
But yeah.
He's in The Simpsons. What was that?
Yeah, so Sean Mikulski, 22-year-old Lewisham-born forward, standing at 6 foot, started his career at Dulwich, went on loan to Walton Casuals, and then got a big move to Bristol City. He spent 4 years with them, enjoying loan spells at Western Supermare, Torquay, Bath City, Newport County, where he's very highly rated, and South.
10 goals, I believe, Matt.
Yes, that's correct, in all competitions. And he has joined us, obviously, from Forest Green, where he's made 17 appearances so far.
Fantastic. I saw
the number 27 shirt.
Saw a few bits on social media from from Forest Green Rovers fans who couldn't quite believe that he's gone.
Yeah, they were very surprised. And actually,
well, say gone. He's only 4 weeks.
That's right. And Newport fans as well couldn't believe that he's stepped down to National League level. They believe he's firmly a League Two player. So hopefully we've got a good one on our books here.
National League, League Two, the same thing. Anyway. What's next?
Well, I interviewed him.
Oh, sorry. here's Matt interviewing the new signing.
Sean Mikulski, welcome to Bromley Football Club. How does it feel?
Yeah, all good. Obviously, first day today. The boys have taken me in well. Feel comfortable already. And yeah, just can't wait to kick on.
And you've obviously seen the setup around here now. You were just saying it was grass last time you were here. It's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, changed a lot. Obviously, last time I was here, it was grass. They didn't have the new stand behind the goal. And now it's this Astro, and they've got a new stand now, and it's looking good.
And you're a local lad as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I only live 15 minutes down the road in Lewisham. That's where I was brought up. So, yeah, it's a club close to home, and hopefully I can do as best as I can.
And you've met Neil, obviously spent a lot of time with Neil on the phone, etc. How's he come across to you?
Oh yeah, Neil's obviously sold me the club very well on the phone, and obviously it's a club that I've always known about as well, and I know how Neil wants to play, and I think the system that he plays, I think I'm the striker that he wants as well. So yeah, he's been great, Neil.
So you're a forward player, but can you describe yourself as a player to those who might not have seen you before?
I just love to get in the box, quite quick, love to run in behind and just literally score goals.
And you come in at the perfect time. Massive game tomorrow at home to Notts County, expecting a big crowd and hopefully a good game. Looking forward to it?
Oh yeah, very big game. Obviously Notts County, they're a very good team, obviously come down from League 2 last year, so it's not going to be an easy game for us, but obviously with the players that we've got and the players that I've seen from today, there's no doubt that we can obviously run them over and win the game.
Well, Sean, welcome to Bromley Football Club, and we look forward to seeing you play.
Thank you, cheers.
Speaks very well, Matt. No, it seems like a nice lad.
Very much so. I had a great chat with him before and after the interview, and he's genuinely excited to be here and play football. He was really complimentary.
What's the team done? Have they made him sing, or have they made usually it's an initiation of some kind, or spin the wheel?
He's definitely spun the wheel. I don't know.
Him and Alfie, did you say?
Yes, yeah, and I didn't hear any of it, so I can't comment on their singing voices. But yeah, great guy, and he's really looking forward to getting started.
Brilliant. A much needed addition, really, to the squad, really, with obviously players out, injured, etc.
Very much so, yeah. And I think this is the area that we needed to sort of bolster a little bit. Defensively, you look at the team and it's solid. We've got backups. But in that sort of striking position, we leave ourselves a little bit limited. When obviously Cheek was injured last week, Clifton got injured, and Corey came on and put in a good shift, but he's not fully fit yet. So it's definitely a useful addition.
You can also play on the wing as well, can't you?
That's right, a right winger or a number 10.
Okay, our next community, which obviously what it's all about, Matt.
Very much so.
What have you got for us?
So tomorrow, or Saturday, 21st September, I should say, against Notts County.
Well, it's a youth day.
Hosting our first ever Bromley FC Youth Day, which is really, really exciting.
Down with the kids.
At the moment, we have got well over 400 parents and kids from our youth section.
Absolutely fantastic.
Attending the game, which is a great effort. And these are people that you've got to think that wouldn't necessarily have been attending the game otherwise. So we are going to involve the first team with this as well. The kids are going to come in, be able to have a kick out on the stadium, kick about. On
kick
the
out?
Kick out?
Kicking about, I haven't even arrived yet.
They've only just got in.
Obviously, on a serious note, it's obviously not just about the youth players that obviously represent the club on Sundays in the Kent Youth League, the Tandridge Youth League, the Girls League, etc. Obviously, it's about them coming down and meeting the first team players, and like we always say, trying to build that one club and feel a part of the club.
Bridge, yeah.
But also it's a thank you to the volunteers and the dedicated parents who all give up their time, and you know,
coaches,
whether it's referee,
yeah,
whether it's coaches, you know, hopefully it's a nice little thank you to them.
Yeah, it is. I mean, these are very, very committed individuals that give up a lot of time alongside their busy working lives to contribute to the fantastic youth section of this club. There's lots going on pre-match, sorry, so we've obviously got the
got to keep Cookie away from the face painting.
Kick about, not the kick out on the pitch, and then the first team are going to come and have a group photo with all of the attendees from the youth section, which should be quite something actually.
Kicker's going to be walking around with football stickers on his cheeks.
Yeah, definitely, that's it. The safety officer in the suit with the footballs on his cheeks.
Apologies, Matt. So obviously they're getting the opportunity to play on the stadium pitch before the game, and they're meeting the players, team
they
photos.
They are indeed, and it's not a lot, but we're going to give the parents reduced entry as well as a free tea or coffee to show our thank you to them.
Oh, and how many cups of tea I got from the match?
They're going to have their seats as well for the game.
And
so,
team photo, big shout out to Mark Avnall, AVE Photography. He's going to be down for the day, obviously. He's going to take some team photos, hopefully, on the
very
stadium
much
in front of the new stand, which that's going to be lovely. I've always, years and years ago, when we just had the 8-9 youth teams, we had team photo of all of them in the bar, in the old sports, baby sports bar at the time. I'd love to find a place where we could get all, I mean, what, it'd be over 40 now, wouldn't it? Team photos of the teams that represent us. I've got to put that down. We've got to get on with that. So yeah, like you said, Matt, that's fantastic. With ticket sales online have been going incredibly well. So we're all set for a bumper crowd against Notts County. People are talking well over 2.5. We're hoping for over 3. So yeah, hopefully that's going to be a great one. I'm going to move on to that shortly. But sorry, Matt, back to the community.
Yeah, so lots of other stuff coming up as well. We're going to be launching our development centre soon, which is our weekday after school club. We've got the October half-term camp ready to book now. We are here from the 21st to the 25th of October, 9 till 3 every day. Quality coaching.
I wonder you were a teacher. It's always school holidays, isn't it?
Quality coaching. Well, I needed them, trust me. Quality coaching, and just keep the kids fit and active.
Cookie will be,
happy.
At least Cookie won't be off now. At least I've got to pick the kids up all that anymore.
Yeah, well.
Fantastic, Matt. Great to hear. And obviously, talking about the community and what goes on. We won't mention a new shopper. I know we'll go through that later. But the match day posters. It's been absolutely great to see everybody get the posters up, whether it's in their shop windows, workplace, schools, colleges, etc. So a big thank you to everyone who's been downloading them. I think we're just about to upload the new latest one for the next four games after Notts County. So hopefully everyone keeps it up, and the local sponsors and that really, really push it. Like, they've really supported us and backed us so far, and hopefully we're going to see the benefits of that, Matt, on Saturday with the crowd.
Yeah, they've been great, haven't they? I mean, we've seen it everywhere we've been. I've got my friends saying to me, I've seen the Bromley posters up, and you know, they've been telling me where they've seen it and stuff, which is great.
I think he was going to make a joke about both your friends there or something.
Yeah,
but
well, yeah, two's better than none. So, so yeah, we really appreciate it, obviously, and yeah, we hope that it's going to pay off. It definitely paid off for the Chesterfield game. I'm convinced of that. So yeah, bring it on.
Up next, we've got a segment with Mark Hammond, and to give you an idea, this week's podcast originally we were hoping to get them around. Get them all around the table. Was it Mark Hammond, Alan Dunn and Danny Mills? You know, I think it'd been a fantastic insight into that side of the football club, and obviously we had some great feedback from the sit around the table with Neil and Robin, and I think we're all in agreement that's something we want to do more often, Matt, in terms of getting everybody around the table, you know, and actually recording a piece.
Yeah, it gives us less to talk about.
I like that.
That's the attitude, yeah, brilliant. No wonder you feature on it so heavily.
I think it's brilliant to have an insight and catching up with Mark, I think, was fantastic.
It's always best, yeah. So obviously, unfortunately, we were my hammer went, I've not got too much time today. Dunny and Millsy aren't available. I'll tell you what, I'll just do a quick 5-minute piece for you, Cook. No problem. So you went away.
Yeah.
You went away, and we thought, well, there's no point us getting involved because, you know, you'll be done in 5 minutes. 20 minutes later... To be fair, it sounds absolutely great. It sounds like it's going to be an absolute great listen. What did you cover, Cook? What areas did you cover?
So we covered the Girls Academy. We covered the FA Youth Cup, JPL, the under-23s, how the loanees are doing away from Bromley that have been loaned out. Covered several areas. And then there was a fantastic story involving Dan Cowley at Concord and Danny Waldron, which...
That sounds interesting. Okay, so here we go. This is what are we going to call it? We're going to call it
with Mark Hammond.
An afternoon with Mark Hammond. Yeah, we're hoping to get brief little snippets of stories for the future podcast, aren't we? Even when we're not sitting down around
He's
the table. I thought we were going to call it Hammo's Minutes or something like that.
No, it's Mark's Minutes.
Mark's Minutes. There we go. Okay. As Cookie said, here's a piece with David Cook and Mark Hammond.
For the podcast, this segment, joined by Mark Hammond, Mark's Minutes could be a new feature. I'm hoping to catch up with Mark and Alan Dunn soon for a bit of a podcast special like we did with Neil and Robin. But for now, just going to obviously catch up on a few things. First of all, before it, Danny Cowley, ex-Braintree, Concord Rangers, Lincoln manager, had a good spell there, now moved to Huddersfield. What's your thoughts on his recent appointment?
Danny Cowley is a very methodical, conscientious professional coach, and I think he's shown that with what he's done at every club. He's immersed in everything he does. You know, the successes with Concord, Braintree, and then at Lincoln, and I think it's a great advert for the non-league, soon to become professional game. Where the championship level can now look at non-league coaches and managers and actually consider them for appointing them in the role. I kind of briefly know Danny, but his work ethic is tireless, and his approach and everything he does. I think it's brilliant, and fair play and good luck to Danny.
Okay, you've got a story about Danny, I believe.
Yes. So, let's go back, what, 6 years? We're playing Concord, and it's 2 days before New Year's Eve, and we're playing Concord away. We're in the changing room. There was two or three players that were late. One of them was Ali Fassini, as usual. But because it's Christmas, we're kind of on the, you know, as you play with the Christmas period, it's kind of you try and crowbar football into your family circumstances, and it does impact, you know, whatever family timetable there is or any family plans you've got. So it's kind of right. It's Christmas. Got to leave the family, go to football, get football done, then get home to your family. So that's kind of the mindset of the Christmas period. So we're in the changing room. Ali Fassini walks in. Just behind him, because these players are late, nothing was really said because we were just about to go into the team talk and prepare to play Concord. And at the time, the Cowley brothers were the managers of Concord Rangers. It was dark, it was freezing, it was raining, we had every bit of weather. You know, there was sleet, it was horrible, horrible. But we're at Concord Rangers, they walk in. But behind him is like Waldron. So Danny Waldron walks in, and he's like in this fluorescent boiler suit, and he's holding a helmet. And I was like, what is he doing? Like... But Danny was a builder, Danny worked, so I thought, do you know what, oh, he might have worked, he might be working over the Christmas period. So nothing was said, just took off the boiler suit that was dripping, it was draining. He put it on the floor, sat down, and all of a sudden, team talk. Mark Goldberg was manager at the time, and Smudger was the assistant. So we've gone out, warmed up, and it was, believe you and me, it was freezing. So we're warming up, played the game, we've won 4-0. Gone back in, and this goes on to my earlier point where, like, Danny Cowley was literally, he was the tea lady. Like, he was amazing, he was like Mr. Ben. So 1 minute he was in the dugout, the next minute he was behind the goal, the next minute he was in the car park, and the next minute he was serving tea. But his hospitality was amazing. Guys, what do you want? I'll get you food. Do you want a drink? And we're just beating him 4-0. Really good, really, really respectful. Exchanged, pleasantries and happy Christmas, blah, blah. All of a sudden, we was like, right, let's get out of here. Let's go. So I'm now, me, Smudger. Who was it? I think Nick McDonald. Nick McDonald's in the back. And we are... sprinting, I think, I can't remember the name of the A road, but we are going for it, and we've got to get to the M25 to hit this link, and everybody's got to get home for their families. So we're trying the very best we can to get back for 7:30, 8 o'clock, Christmas. Got to get back to the families. It is shelling it down, and I mean, we hit the M25 and the rain is coming down, it's shelling it down. And all of a sudden, in the distance, I've just seen this fluorescent work suit with a helmet, and it is Danny Waldron on a 50cc moped on the M25. And if you've ever seen Dumb and Dumber, that's what he looked like on the moped. And there was a little bit of camber in the road, and he's trying to negotiate against the weather, the floor, and honestly, it must have been doing 30 miles an hour, and the rain is hitting him, and all of a sudden, we've driven past, and I've gone, Smudge, it's Waldo. And he's gone, he's looked around, he's got no chance. He went, because the shout was, oh my God, have a look at this bloke. It was Waldo. So no wonder he was late. Honestly, it was a 50cc moped, Cookie.
It ties in well with the Danny Cowley story, but also, obviously, Danny Waldron's gone back to Welling today, so something that, that fits in quite well.
I hope he's still
he's upgraded to a car now.
Yeah, he won't need his moped for. Although he's got Concorde away. Yeah.
Just moving on from that, the academy obviously started the National League. The National League as well, the academy, that's all teams from the North and South going to league. Fantastic start for the lads.
Yeah, very good start. They played Aldershot in the new reformed National League academies set up, and they won 5-3. So for the new players as well into the squad that are playing in the regional section, really good test, and obviously two teams that are in the top end of non-league football. So it's really good, and I watched it with the gaffer. And some really pleasing, promising performances, and the guys seem, especially from Alfie Langford, who came to us. He came straight out of grassroots football, hasn't come through the academy system, and he's kind of the epitome of, you know, hard work and belief. So, you know, fair play to the kid.
It's fantastic. And also the academy going out and beating Watford the other day. Watford Foundation?
Yes, so the first years they travelled over to North London and won their first league game, so Tony Brown's squad. So at the moment, I know we're only one game in, but along with the under-23s, who have won 3 out of 3, and some promising performances there from our actual under-18s that are actually playing up in the under-23s. We beat Sutton 3-1, beat Chatham 5-2, and then we beat Corinthian 3-1. The under-23s are top of the league at the moment, and both academies league teams are top of the league. So,
well, we'll touch on the 23s as well, because the 23s are at host on Friday night to Sevenoaks, so a localish game, but obviously looking to get another victory. It's a good match to play, and obviously back at home for them, which they're enjoying as well.
Yeah, especially for the lower non-league teams now, they use their kind of reserve league for first team players that are returning from injury, whereas we kind of organise in-house games against Millwall, Fulham, Charlton, Ipswich, and we played a mixture of first team and under 23s last week. We played Millwall behind closed doors, lost 1-0, but from Dunny's summary, we gave a good account of ourselves and stood up and, you know, could have drawn, maybe won it, but so we've got kind of two branches of development at the moment, where our fringe first team squad players and first team players that haven't played many minutes, we're organising fixtures against the professional clubs to play behind closed doors, but we've also got our under 18 to under 19 and 20s players that are playing in the actual reserve leagues.
It's a testament to how well it's going. Like you said, the players on the brink of the first team that's been involved in the first team at the start of the season, we've seen players develop like Ollie Tanner. And in the 23s at the moment, he's scoring, and we put the videos out the other day of Ronan, who'd done the filming, sensational free kick, and it just goes to show that these guys could be playing in Bromley first team shirts full time in the next couple of seasons. So how is it start building up the academy, and then just seeing that from your side, how well the academy's developed in such a short space of time? We've gone from an academy with probably 20-30 boys a few years ago now to over 200 lads. We've got a 23s team, we've got the female academy side. You must be immensely proud
of the staff. They've bought into the vision, and each staff member actually wants to develop players. They've got a hunger and a zest for actually developing young players. And I think it's because they're in reaching distance of the first team, that whereas if you was at Crystal Palace or Arsenal, the actual realisation of playing for the first team is very limited. Whereas Ollie's still only 17. There's been a lot of interest, where external clubs have been wanting to come and watch him, but it's not just Ollie. Spencer Cripps, Billy Krask, and then you look at the under 18 squad coming through at the moment. Everything that we did structured 2-3 years ago. We're now hopefully have got a pipeline of players that are coming through. The JPL, for example, they're playing. The under 12s have got Portsmouth. The under 14s, they're playing Ebbsfleet. The under 15s are at Dartford, and our under 16s and 15s are playing tonight, this evening, on Thursday against Crystal Palace. Again, they're now competing against teams where they will be tested and where they can develop and you know, refine their performance levels. We've also invested in the player tech vests. We've now got Player Maker, where the GPS that monitors their touches, their left foot, their right foot, their distribution levels, their sequences. So again, that will influence the training patterns and everything they're doing, and hopefully can underpin what we're trying to do with the first team. So players like Ollie Tanner, still only 17, and Smudge, as openly said, it's how he manages his welfare also, and his development and his mindset, but undoubtedly is a talent that will
it's
potentially play this year.
It's proven that it will work. It's worked. Obviously, you see people like Jordan Higgs went to Carl Shortland, come back, done well for him at a very young age. He was spotted as a great talent, and you mentioned earlier Billy Crask, and you got Briggs as well over at Glebe, and this is what, step 5 men's football, and they're setting the league alight, aren't they? They even done an article in the South Eastern Combined League on the website about the Bromley 2 that have gone to Glebe and are doing so well. So again, it's a testament for the club for being able to produce and spot and produce these talents and then develop them into lads that are going to go out and develop the men's football, because 23 football, like you said, I think before, is limited, and some people use it for fringe 20 or first team players. These guys are going out. Clubs are coming to you or Bromley as a football club to then say, we need a player, have you got anyone? And that must be that's something we used to do.
I think Bromley Football Club now, to the outside footballing world, offers trust. So the lower clubs are now trusting us in what we do, how we look to develop players, and that they'll trust us in terms of what we are actually offering in terms of what they can do. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we used to phone certain clubs, and you know, they I wouldn't say they wasn't interested. I don't think they was aware, therefore they wouldn't take the risk. But now they're seeing it as not a risk. It's actually going to help them and enhance their team's performances, but also keep their budgets down.
Yeah.
And it's just like the higher end clubs now are doing what they're doing with our first team. There's now an open relationship with certain professional clubs, and there's also working relationships and trust between the clubs. You know, and they're now recognising that we are a serious club.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of everything we're trying to do. So, yeah, no, it's all positive.
That's fantastic. And finally, just want to touch on the talking of the academy. The FA Youth Cup starts very soon. Well, starts for Bromley very soon. And we was drawn against Corinthians or Crowborough, and that game's going to take place in the next couple of days.
Yeah, that fixture's tomorrow night. Myself and the under-18s coach.
So just to explain, sorry, this interview is being undertaken on a Thursday. So yes. Obviously on the Friday night.
Oh, yeah, sorry, cooking.
No, that's fine. And it's Corinthians or Crowborough. So you're going down to
Crowborough Athletic
to scout the game.
Yeah, tomorrow to watch the opposition with the under-18s coach, Jamal. So we're going to, scouting mission. Jamal can assess and analyse and then plan what the guys will need to do in preparation for their FA Youth Cup, which is at home, week commencing the 30th of September. So once we know the result of Friday night, I think we'll get sent the details next week, and then Jeff will book the fixture.
Yeah.
And again, it's brilliant to have a home draw, FA Youth Cup, first round, against the winners of Corinthian or Crowborough.
And we hope to have a crowd for that. I remember two years ago we had Stevenage, and there was a team, how many were here? There was about 300, 350 people come to watch the FA Youth Cup, and that was a a crowd that we loved in sort of like the Conference South days. So to get that for a youth game again shows how far the club's come.
Yeah,
and we're hoping to obviously get fans down when the announcement's put out who they're playing and when. That's a good point, Cookie.
I've been at, so for the under 23s at the moment, there was more supporters here on the Friday night than there would be at a Cray Wanderers game. Like the other Friday night, where there was, it was like it was, you know, there was 300-400 people here. That's amazing for an under, for a Friday night under 23 games. And I know you've got the, you know, the football games going on the back or the training, but you've got all the youth section here, all the interest from the Friday night football, and that just that filters into the fixture. Again, as a football model, I don't think there's anything being replicated like what we're doing at the moment. So again, if we, say for example the first team are away on the Saturday, you're now seeing supporters turning up on a Friday, watching the youth. They can't get, obviously they work, they can't get down to the Wednesday afternoons, which is fully understandable. But now on a Friday night, you're actually seeing some of the regulars that attend and the season ticket holders. They're here now watching the future. Yeah. And it's a really, really exciting time, but proud time to be a part of the club.
And they're getting some good football to boot as well with it.
Yeah.
One thing, sorry, I just want to skip back to as well. The ladies' academy is going very well. And even for them, and how far Bromley's come, FA Cup winners, formerly a Premier League club, now in League One, Portsmouth. Bromley are playing Portsmouth, and the female academy is set up, and not just playing them, but the ladies actually beat Portsmouth the other day.
On Wednesday, so yesterday, the girls travelled away to Portsmouth, girls' academy, and they won 2-1.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Fantastic. And I've got one of the players at the moment who's been recruited. She'll do her education with us, but she's been signed for Brighton, which is in the actual professional women's league. She's only 18. Faith. Again, we can't offer yet, you know, the Premier League women's route into football. But at the moment, again, you've got Crystal Palace ladies, Brighton, all these top clubs are now looking at Bromley Academy ladies and girls. But hopefully one day, you know, the vision in 5-6 years, Jack Wheeler, who's the head of girls, will hopefully build the girls division and we'll be competing on that scene.
Fantastic. Mark, it's been a brilliant in-depth interview with you. Thank you very much. Great to get an insight on that. Anything else you want to add? Got any other stories on anything, or is this to save it for another podcast?
I think save it for another podcast. I've got... There's many a story.
Yeah.
Many a story.
We'll look forward to your book when you eventually retire.
Okay.
Mark Hammond, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Cookie.
Great to hear from Mark Hammond there. No doubt we'll hear plenty more from him in the future episodes. Like you say, hopefully Mark's minutes will be a regular feature in the podcast. Matt, up next, obviously our professional development side.
Yes, aka the under 23s. They've had a great start to the season, and obviously we as a club have been making a special effort to cover them and give them the coverage they deserve. And there's been some fantastic performances so far. Obviously, we've already discussed the 3-1 opening day win against Sutton. There was a victory away to Chatham Town as well. And then back at home, another victory against Corinthian, also 3-1. So some fantastic football being played. But rather than me carrying on about that, here's the manager himself, Danny Mills, like I say, head coach of the under-23s.
Danny Mills, welcome back to the podcast. You are the under-23s manager, or the professional development manager, I should say. That's the preferred term, isn't it? It's been a very busy summer for you, selecting some of these players that we're now seeing playing for the professional development side.
Very busy. As I said, we're not quite sort of self-sufficient in how we're run. So we have to basically invite a hell of a lot of trialists in and sift through the trialists. But we are getting to a stage now where the squad's getting smaller. And we've had some fantastic players come in, potentially some fantastic players come in. Some from non-league teams, some from boys that have been released by pro clubs. And we're starting to see them come to fruition now. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
There's been quite a lot of turnover, hasn't there, as well? I think you said to me the other day, only two of the team that played last week were actually with us last season.
Yeah, I think we sort of, at the moment, that's how we have to run it. I think if we don't do it that way, then it's not good for the boys to stay here too long if they're not going to break into the first team, or we don't get a loan move. So the boys almost get a year to prove themselves. And then they sort of go on to pastures greener, and a few boys have gone to other clubs this year. And then we've got a new load in that are now chomping at the bit to prove themselves, which you kind of need that. As I said, like, you know, our first team are no joke. They're really good, you know, fantastic team. You know, they're sort of only going one direction. So for us to keep up with them, or our boys to break into them, they've got to be, you know, chomping at the bit every day in training, which they are, to be fair. So.
And speaking of loans and dual registrations, there are a few: Anthony Dwyer, Billy Crass, Briggs Ogerman, Brian Okongo, to mention a few. And they seem to be getting on really well.
Yeah, I mean, because we've got quite a lot of players, I mean, them being out with the dual regs makes it even better for us. As I said, they go out and they get their men's football experience. And the four boys you just spoke about have done fantastic since they've been out. And hopefully when they return, they're sort of pushing for a first team place. And as I said, we'll continue to do that. And hopefully they can, you know, they can push when they come back. Because as I said to you, you know, stats will tell you it's probably only one or two from the 23s that are going to kick on every year. And I, you know, keep saying to the boys, you know, just don't leave anything on the table, or anything in the locker. They got to come in every day, you know, and fight for that space. And as I said, we've got real big competition for places in the 23s. It's a real headache picking a team at the moment, and that's with sort of 8 or 9, maybe 10 boys out, you know, in dual regs or on loan. So yeah, no, it's exciting times.
It's been a really good start to the season as well, hasn't it? Obviously opening with a 3-1 victory over Sutton in front of a home crowd, and again last week another 3-1 against Corinthian, again under the lights at Hayes Lane.
The frightening thing is at the moment we're at about 40 or 50% of where we could be. I mean, the team changes quite a lot. 23s, that's reserve football for you. But yeah, no, a fantastic result against Sutton, fantastic result against Corinthians, and we played against Chatham in a couple of way, which we, you know, going forward, we've been fantastic this year. Loads to work on defensively, but we've not hit our straps yet by a country mile. So when it does click, teams better beware.
And you talked about the pedigree of some of these players. I mean, you look at the like of Brandon Chambers, was at Tottenham as a youth player, I believe, and Ollie Tanner on the fringe of the first team now, actually training with the first team, and Jaden Phillips doing really well as well.
Yeah, Jaden Phillips come from Leyton Orient, was probably unlucky to be released as a scholar. Brandon Chambers was at Tottenham until he was 16. We've got another lad called Dejon Spencer who's come in. He was at Spurs. Yeah, we've got some Bobby Mills, coming from AFC Wimbledon. Like, we've got boys that actually want to come here now, but they haven't got a hangover from being released. They're actually, you know, they know where they are, and they know, you know, they know what they've got to do. So work rate's been unbelievable from all five players. And then we've got the youngers. We've got sort of our youth team players that are chomping at the bit as well. So, you know, I dare to say we've probably got too many players to know what to do with. You know, we've got a real wealth of talent here. Hence, you know, every game there we've got, you know, five or six scouts coming to watch. And we're sort of making noise a little bit. But as I said, like, we haven't hit our straps nowhere near yet. So, you know, I'm almost excited for the next two or three weeks, because once these boys get their teeth stuck into the season, like, we, you know, they're going to go from strength to strength.
And speaking of people coming to watch the under-23s, we are obviously covering it a lot more as a club now. And someone who does come down and watch as well quite often is Neil, and to see the talent on show.
Yeah, which is... to be fair, Neil's always done that, as has Mark Hammond, and then they're not shy on giving me their opinions and feedback after the game, which is more than welcome, because as I said, like, you know, they're the first team, and we have to broach that gap, or bridge that gap between them getting in the first team, and it can only be good if they're coming to watch. As we stand now, we're in training now, and Brandon Chambers, our right back, has been called in to train today, even though he's playing tonight, and he's creating a good impression, and that's off the back of you guys coming and filming the games and putting it on Twitter. You know, it can only be good publicising it, and it's brilliant to have the gaffer and Alan Duncombs and Mark Hammond and you guys.
And it's great that there's so many home games as well at the moment. Another home game tonight against Sevenoaks Town.
Yeah, there's something about, we call it Friday night under the lights. I think the boys like it. It is exciting. Sutton game was unreal. I think we had near enough a packed stand, so it's been really, really good, and hopefully we continue to get the support. Yeah, it's Friday night's exciting. We've got a few away games coming up. Saturdays generally are away game fixtures. Four cup competitions we've entered this year, so we'll get busy with away games, but at the moment enjoying the Friday nights at 8 o'clock. It's been brilliant.
And finally, just it must mean so much to the players when they come out and see that there's actually people coming here to support them and watch them.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first year I think we've got five or six boys have got, you know, both parents coming to watch and extended family, and before you it looks like no one's here at 5 to 8, and all of a sudden you look up in the stand and there's and I think the boys appreciate that. And yeah, like last year we had sort of one man and his dog here. This year it's, for the two games we've had at home, and to be fair, pre-season we had some good crowds here pre-season. It's fantastic. So, you know, thank you for everyone's support and long may it continue.
Well, we know there's a lot of interest obviously in the under 23 side of things, and you provide a loan update to us every week, so you can keep up to date with the goings on of the under 23s via that on the website. Millsy, thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthew.
Great to hear from Danny Mills there. They're playing tonight, Matt. Obviously, by the time this episode goes out, some people might have missed it. But obviously, Friday night again, they're home to Seven Oaks Town.
8 o'clock kickoff, so you've still got time if you're local to get down, if you're at Loose End. The standard has been great this season, so I definitely recommend watching the under-23s, and they really appreciate the support. So good luck. 8 o'clock tonight against Seven Oaks Town, that's what I was trying to say. And there'll be updates on Twitter.
And obviously, Saturday, Notts County. In between, it's been a busy week at the club, so we welcome Sean in. Players have been working hard. Matt, you managed to catch up with one of them?
Yeah, Luke Coulson, obviously fresh from his goal against his old side EC last week. He's been in great form, lots of assists this season, and pitched in with a brilliant goal at Eastleigh. So here's what he had to say on the season so far and looking ahead to Notts County.
Luke, it's been a week prepping for the visit of Notts County. Let's backtrack though quickly to the trip to Eastleigh last week. A goal for yourself, a point on the board, but ultimately could have been three.
Yeah, definitely. We were disappointed not to have taken all three on the road, but again, maintaining the unbeaten run. We know how strong we are at home as well, so you're looking forward to Saturday and a big game ahead.
Getting plenty of assists so far this season. That was the first goal. You must be pleased.
Yeah, a bit of relief just to open the account. But obviously, the team's the most important thing. So setting the other lads up and maintaining the unbeaten run is obviously more important. But if I could get a few more in the next few weeks, I wouldn't complain.
And we welcome Notts County to Hayes Lane on Saturday. Obviously, at a big club, a big game, and two sides that are in good form at the minute. So it should be an entertaining affair.
Yeah, no, definitely. We've been doing our homework, so we know what we're expecting. And obviously, we've played against a few of their players before, and obviously Brindley's there, who we know all about, who's a very good player. So just looking forward to getting to Saturday now,
and hopefully a big crowd to come down and support the team and will us on to hopefully another unbeaten game.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be massive for us to take into a Tuesday night, obviously with the midweek game coming up, so full focus on Notts County with that in the background.
And like you say, another game coming up at home, another big game potentially. Looking forward to the run of games now.
Yeah, I think it becomes a little bit slow when you've got obviously Saturday. It's nice to have a break every now and then and just slow it down, but I'm personally a fan of the quick games and a few amount of games. You can keep the run of form going, and obviously if you don't pick up the points you want, it's quick to rectify.
Well, Luke, thank you and good luck for Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Great to see Luke on the score sheet, Matt.
Very much so, and like I say, a very well taken goal. I'm sure that is the first of many to come this season. I know he was very relieved, as he said, to get that, and let's hope the goals flow for Luke now.
Yeah, I'm saying that it's all start Saturday again, Notts County. It'd be great to see him not trying against them. Like you say, we're looking for our biggest crowd of the season, Matt. It's going to be another fantastic crowd at Hayes Lane, and I think the weather's on our side as well.
Yeah, it looks like it. It's been a beautiful day today down here. Got some great pictures and videos earlier. I know Cookie was sharing them around of the ground, which looks amazing in the sun, doesn't it? Especially with the new stands.
Obviously, you've mentioned we've gone on our youth day, and obviously just ahead of going into the arrangements for the fixture itself. Obviously, Notts County, our opposition, we've not managed to get anything from them regarding their own form, etc. But luckily, David Cook is at hand.
I am indeed, Matt. Jeff, sorry. Get that right. So, Notts County currently sit 13th in the league. 11 games played, same as us, and on 14 points. Previous, they played, if memory serves me correctly, sorry, they played Halifax at home on their last game.
Memory serves you correctly. You're looking at the phone. Just read what's on the screen in front of you.
I didn't scroll to that point yet. So they beat Halifax at home 1-0 last Saturday, who were second in the league. And they, the last four games...
We jumped above them, didn't we? Well, no, we jumped above Halifax, didn't we?
And before that, two draws against Sutton and Solihull Moors, and a defeat to Yeovil, who was also relegated from League 2 last season.
Incredible. Obviously, the Ravens go into it unbeaten, Matt. Nevertheless, it's always going to be a tough game, and the fact you just... you're sort of reminded people on social media and stuff that it's actually a normal game. It's not an FA Cup game or anything.
No, it isn't. It's fantastic. And like you say, we're expecting a huge crowd down here. And I fully expect it to be a good game between two sides that are in good form and playing good football at the moment. And one of the people playing good football for them is, of course, Richard Brindley, who was with us last year. And is now, signed for Notts County recently. Made his debut last week, actually. So we'll see if he features tomorrow.
As well as the signing of Sean Shields from Ipswich.
Yeah, on a season-long loan. They've certainly, obviously, since the takeover, they've certainly strengthened their squad and bolstered their ranks, so fully expected to be a tough test.
They also have Christian Oxlade-Chamberlain playing for a match.
Brother of Alex.
There we go, as well.
Alex?
Runs in the blood. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Who's he?
Liverpool player. Born in England.
Obviously, plenty of reasons to come down early on Saturday, not only because it's going to be super busy and you want to miss all the queues, etc., but the Ravens Bar's open nice and early from midday. Again, we're offering a free pint. This time, it's not just Spitfire. It's a pint of your choice from all the draft offers that are on, Guinness, Beer Moretti, Amstel. So hopefully, many of you can, as possible, come down and make the most of that.
It's a free pint of draft. Don't get caught up in... just saying a free pint, not a free pint of wine or anything like that.
Thank you for clarifying that, Cook. On the television, we've got... who's playing?
Leicester,
it's Tottenham. Leicester versus Tottenham. Former Premier League champions against the... who's your against your team, basically. Is that right?
Yeah, the champions against the team that finished third term that season.
So that's going to be a great one. Someone's waving at me.
Marquee Bar.
Oh, Marquee Bar. Yeah, of course. Sorry. So the Marquee Bar's open on Saturday. We've got four draft pumps in there now that have been newly installed. So that's going to be open from when the turnstiles open at 1:30. As ever, it's full segregation in place. We've got Raven's Nest and Tea Hut open. And we've got some ice cream in. We've got some Ben and Jerry's little tubs in. What have we got? Vanilla and cookie dough?
Cookie dough, correct.
Vanilla and cookie dough. I like the cookie dough. I might have a bit of that tonight, actually, at home after a pizza from Domino's. But... plenty of reasons to head on down early. Like you say, it's going to be a fantastic crowd. Buy your tickets online in advance. It's going to be a lot quicker to scan through the turnstiles. Online sales at the moment have been absolutely fantastic, and we're already on target to break our record crowd for this season so far. So thank you so much to all of those who have already purchased in advance. Matt, where are they going to find all the details?
www.bromleyfc.co.uk.
And everyone's pointing at me, telling me to say stuff.
I'm not pointing.
I wasn't going to interrupt you on a roll. But also, this podcast goes out later in the week. So don't forget, we've got Woking as well on Tuesday.
Oh, brilliant. I thought we'd just like maybe finish off talking about Notts County game and then we'll go on to that.
Or
I could cut in.
BromleyFC.co.uk for all the details on that one. Cookie?
One time, Matt. accentuate the voice. So we'll also play Woking on Tuesday.
Is it going well?
It's a 7:45 kick-off.
This is too long, this podcast. We can only spend 45 minutes together usually. We're at 58 minutes at the moment.
That's a bit too much.
A massive weekend, look, to have Notts County on Saturday, and then like you say, I don't know which way results could be, but it could quite easily be a top of the table clash on Tuesday, which would be incredible. The fact that it could be between Bromley and Woking would be absolutely amazing, and you'd like to think we'd get a similar crowd on a Tuesday night. Again, all the details are on the website, tickets on sale for all those fixtures, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. I think that's about it, guys.
Yeah, pretty much, isn't it?
Big thank you again to everybody who's part with that, but who's downloaded, listened, and puts up with us every week. It's greatly appreciated.
I will go back now to my limited minutes on the podcast. Give the people what they want.
Again, big thank you to everyone who's listened. We'll be back again next week. I'm not sure what we've got planned for next week, Matt. We've got a special plan, hopefully, try and pin down Alan Dunne and that.
Yes, Dunne, the ever elusive Dunne. I'm sure he's got plenty of brilliant stories, very experienced player, and now obviously embarking on a coaching journey, so it'll be good to hear from him.
Brilliant. We'll see you all on Saturday against Notts County, if not back at home on Tuesday against Woking. Big thank you again, and we'll see you soon.
Giving us, there's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.